Hi there. And once again, we are here with Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. And in today's episode, we'll be interviewing John Van Auken. John Van Auken is one of the pillars of this organization. He's the author of over a dozen books. He's a specialist in meditation, ancient Egyptian mysticism, the Kabbalah, the Bible, prophecy, you name it. And so I'm looking forward to sharing John Van Auken with all of you. Good, so welcome to the Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. And today we have the real special honor. I'm excited to be talking to John Van Auken. And John and I go back to Egypt in 1996 where I first met him. And boy, an hour is gonna, our time together will fly by. We can talk about ancient Egyptian mysticism. We could talk about the Kabbalah or the Bible. But today we're gonna be focusing on meditation. John has put together a very unique certification program, a one-week program, and I think it's just outstanding that you'll be able to come in here and learn from John, learn from a real meditation master, and be able to just gain all the gifts and the possibilities of meditation and be able to be a teacher of that to others. So I'm excited to have John here and talk about this new program that you've got in the works.
Yeah, I'm excited too. The idea came up in a discussion with our conference manager of picking up on your certification programs with meditation and regression.
Oh, well, thanks for that, John.
Yeah. And so I looked at what could we do with professionally training meditation teachers or taking a meditation to a higher level of practice for those who really want to get into deep reflective meditation.
Yeah, I think it's, you look at the history of the ARE, they kind of used to do more of those week-long trainings, then we went to the weekends. And so I'm really excited that it's kind of going back to more in-depth, and especially with meditation. You know, if you, Cayce's readings, or, you know, the Buddha, wherever you look, meditation is such a dynamic, important kind of spiritual tool.
That's true, and when you've got an audience of 300 or 500 people, you can't just focus on depth. You have to have beginner enlightenment as well as sophisticated. So this will allow us to really focus on the deeper levels, assuming they've already been practicing and they have some degree of skill. So it should be exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, good. And that's coming up in
February.
In February.
Here at ARE headquarters.
And is there space still available?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes, there's still space.
So folks can register. And what would, let's say when someone's completed it, kind of what kind of, what would they have added to their skill set, and what can they expect?
Well, there's two types of completion. A person who's just seeking deeper skills will have obtained those and learned various nuances of the levels of consciousness that Edgar Cayce described for deeper meditation. He was very clear. Also, they'll learn the physiology of shifts showing whether you're moving into the subconscious or the deeper level, because your body will shift. And the second level is becoming a trainer of meditation. You will have experienced all the varieties of meditation that are the main varieties that are taught and have been for centuries. You will know all of those, and then you'll be able to be a certified instructor.
I see. So there's almost like three sections. So when somebody signs up, they can kind of decide which of those three programs they're in, and then their certification will reflect kind of that.
Yes, exactly like you do it in your programs, where you identify the motivation of the participant.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really going to be dynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like I said earlier, I met you in 1996, I was living in Boston. I went on an Egypt tour. It was that enormous tour that had a bunch of Canadians. I think it was
87
like,
of us.
It was a raucous group.
Yes.
It was really fun. And I remember the back then, I think we had three nights, 3 hours each in the Great Pyramid, chanting and meditating.
True.
I remember after one of those sessions, I left there and I gave away everything I had. I gave away all my money, I gave away my jacket, and an hour later, I was so glad I'd left some back at the hotel, or I would have been broke.
Yeah.
Now, you've had many deep experiences meditating yourself and in Egypt. Any you'd like to share that you feel could be public?
Well, let's see. When I first started, I was, I first read my first Casey book when I was 16.
Ooh,
and wow. Then when I went off to university, I really wanted to improve meditation. I wasn't feeling like I was doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
But the only study group, I was going to William and Mary University, but the only study group was in Newport News.
Mm-hmm.
So the ARE told me the address and informed the people that a student from William & Mary was going to try to come. So I come in, I'm young, and the study group is all gray-haired people. And I go, oh boy.
Like us now.
Yeah, like us. And yet I could see in their eyes that they had touched what I wanted to experience.
Mm.
So I hung in there with them, but I can remember sitting there, you know, and it's supposed to be within you, you know, and I'm sitting there going, there's nothing in here but me, you know, and I'm straining for this, and I go, oh my God, they're going to do this for 20 minutes.
That's right.
And I'm going,
38 seconds, you know,
right.
38.
Well, I kept on though, and months into it, I started having changes. I started sensing another reality, another dynamic. And I knew I had begun a breakthrough into what I was seeking and what I saw in these older people.
Mm-hmm.
And that started me on the path of appreciating the value of meditation and using it regularly.
Mm. That's great. Like what I'll tend to do is every couple months I'll just Google meditation and look at the news, like what research is out there.
Yeah.
And most recently I saw that they have shown that with just 3 months of meditation, it reduces the rate at which your brain shrinks. I have no idea what that means, but it sounds like a good thing to slow down the shrinkage of your brain.
Well, my father is 98 years old and very active, and he tells me all the time that his brain is shrinking.
Oh, so there
and
you go.
And I keep trying to tell him, you got to meditate,
That's
Dad.
Right. It'll slow it down.
He says, if I start to meditate, I fall asleep.
Yeah. Well, can Casey say that's okay, that you're in the hands of your creator?
He was one of the few teachers that said falling asleep would be a natural result of you attempting to go within.
Mm-hmm.
Because once the system shifts, it's very close to the sleep state.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to get through that to a conscious sleeping stage, you know?
Yeah. Well, what are some of the other experiences you could share, or maybe a teaser for the class, something that might help anybody watching that's considering coming to the class?
Well, there are several types of meditation, but the type Edgar Casey was encouraging was holistic. And by that I mean he was attempting to bring the body, the mind and the soul into conscious union. So he began with physical techniques of meditation. Then he would move to the mental and attempt to make shifts in consciousness.
Ah.
And then he always wanted you to connect with the spiritual.
Was this in one session or over time? Like you In one session you do physical, mental, and then spiritual.
But if you were a beginner and he was giving you advice and he knew you were a beginner, he would just work on stilling your body, you see?
Yeah.
And then as you came back to him, he'd know you're ready to still the mind.
Oh, because I know I'd heard that Hugh Lynn Casey said, at the beginning, just practice sitting still for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So that was
that's right.
Just getting the
and
body.
And there's a meditation technique in Zen Buddhism called Shikantaza, which literally means just to sit.
Mm. Yeah.
That's hard to do.
Yeah. Good. I'm really I'm excited about that class. I wish I could take it and kind of sit in there and be with you.
Yeah.
I find that those classes, I think I've done 4 hypnosis ones, and we did a life coaching. They're just so dynamic.
Like
I think that there's almost like a oneness that gets created. Like the students stay in touch, and then they, they miss it. You know, they kind of, there's something that gets formed. And so I'm sure that you'll experience that, especially with meditation.
Well, even now, when I'm with people who have practiced for a while, I always feel this soul group collectiveness that envelops us.
Yeah.
And it's a joy and a harmony among souls, you know, to know that we have touched the original dimension of our existence in the midst of all that goes on in physical life.
Yeah. And what have been some of your experiences with teaching? I mean, I remember James, your son, he talks about when he was a little kid, he'd go to the bathroom at 2 a.m. and he'd see you there meditating.
Yeah.
And that sometimes he'd go and snuggle up with you and you'd hold him and keep meditating.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he didn't know about the 2 a.m. meditation.
Yeah, see, that was a curious thing. Edgar Cayce, in just a few readings, said, if you would really like to get deeper, your body and mind are in a perfect condition at around 2 a.m. And a top executive in New York City came to Edgar Cayce and told him that she was just too busy to meditate. And he calmly said, well, what are you doing at 2 a.m.? And she went, what? This is more important than sleep?
Yeah,
it could be.
Yeah.
So I used to, and still do, when my soul calls me to get up at 2 a.m. And I was with a study group. We all did it. Mm-hmm. We called them the 2 a.m. meditations. And it took us a while because you really are in a disoriented place. Mm-hmm. Half of you wants to sleep and doesn't know why you're up.
Mm-hmm.
And the other half is attempting to experience something deep, something meaningful. And so you're struggling with that. And like I said, you get into a twilight that is close to sleep, but you slip into another dynamic meditation, or what we would call reflection. And that's the key right there.
Well, say more about reflection. I mean, I know it's the title of our show, but I think you mean it in a different way.
Reflection is not thoughts. It's getting to a place beyond the self-conscious heart and mind. And when you get into deep reflection, you do so by shifting your disposition, not by thinking. Thinking cannot get you beyond thinking. So you have to go with this stillness idea, and there's a magic in the stillness. And as you learn to still the body and still the mind, that magic shifts you and you move in to a place that's very close to your original self, your original nature, and the origin of your being. And that is a depth that you're seeking.
Oh.
So true reflection is connecting with the origin of your being, of your life. And that takes you to the origin of life. And that's why so many meditators say they feel a oneness. Because when they get into the good place, they feel like we're all connected.
Yeah, I just read a quote from Carl Jung, and he talks about how in the subconscious realms, you go into the collective, and then he says eventually you move into, he didn't use the word oneness, but he says into the world, into union.
Union.
Yeah.
I like union. Well, union is yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can see that the Hatha Yoga was moving for you to have union with all life and the source of life.
Yeah. Now, some of our watchers, they may not know that here at the ARE, we have the third floor is dedicated to meditation and silence. It's a meditation room that's available the entire time the building is open, and anyone can go up there. And we have a structured meditation time Monday through Friday at noon. But I'm hoping that your class will be able to go up there and just, you know, the vibe there, I think, is very conducive to deepening a meditation practice.
Yeah, that's true. As soon as you walk into that room, you can feel the vibes. Of course, the huge stones, the crystal, the lapis, and the amethyst. I mean, they They are creating. Yes, creating a vibration.
And I'm hoping we'll have like a, as part of the show, there'll maybe be some cutaway to show people the meditation room, the beautiful view of the ocean. And
yeah.
I think that'll be. I think that class is going to be so dynamic.
Well, good.
I think whoever attends, you know, I hope it's like, you know, a lot of things they do here is like a mystery school stuff that the yeah. select few come.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that with this new age, that it just opens up,
uh-huh.
and that you know. What do you think would be, what kind of capacity do you think you could effectively teach to?
Well, we've been following your model in which you don't want to get too many
yeah,
people
like
or you
or
really
50.
Can't have a rich experience.
Yeah.
So we've limited the registration so that those who do come have a very personal,
yeah.
rich face-to-face.
Yeah, that's good. Because
yeah.
I think that allows for the question and answers to be more dynamic and
right.
people can get into more depth with their... you know, with what they're trying to learn and study. So that's
exactly.
probably a good, so people better register quickly.
I think to myself, it doesn't matter what you're doing in life. If you add this to your life, you improve your health. The medical profession's now claiming meditation is very important to health, physical
oh.
health.
Well, it has the physical benefits, mental benefits, spiritual benefits. I think it's just the quintessential healing modality.
You should at least add it to the
yeah.
overall practice of healthy living.
Now, one thing with the work I do with hypnosis, it's kind of, I feel like you're entering meditative states, but you're kind of using them because the mind becomes open to suggestion
right.
in those in-between states. But what I've found is with the New Age energies is that it's almost like the veil is thinning, that it's easier and easier to enter transcendent states of consciousness. Have you found that to
yeah,
be true,
I
too?
Oh, yeah, I agree. The new children coming in and people who are practicing are more quickly reaching higher states of consciousness because the veil is not so opaque.
Yes.
That it's thin and they are able to sense the shift through the veil into the deeper mind,
mm-hmm.
deeper consciousness. And their hearts are motivated right. See, in the Eastern world, they teach about the bird of paradise. The one wing is the right technique
mm-hmm.
and training,
ah.
but the other wing is the right heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the bird doesn't fly with one wing.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
You have to have the right. So their hearts are in a better place than we used to have, and they automatically succeed quicker.
Now, looking at kind of like the big picture of like, whatever you want to call it, the Christ consciousness or
uh-huh.
the God consciousness, you know, Buddha emphasized so much meditation in his teachings. And then the esoteric teachings of Casey and others was that Jesus had spent time in India. And there's a question about, did Jesus know how to meditate? Was that at all part of his practice? Where do you think about that?
Yeah, there are passages in the New Testament in which Jesus leaves the group to go be alone
mm-hmm.
in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that if you watch how Jesus prays, he begins with this connection with the Father,
mm-hmm.
and then there's silence,
mm-hmm.
there's stillness.
Mm-hmm.
So silent prayer is equivalent to reflection,
mm-hmm.
meditation,
ah.
receptivity. Do you see?
Yeah.
So I think very much he understood how to do that. And he would say to us, the stuff I tell you, I don't tell you of myself, but I am receiving
yes.
it. The miracles I do, I don't do of myself, but the spirit that comes through me knows how to transform physical conditions.
Yeah. And there's that passage where he says, I guess he's answering a question of the apostles, and he says, I eat of the meat that you know not of.
Right.
And I've always wondered if that means his ability to replenish himself non-physically,
yeah.
ethereally.
Oh, I agree with that. They come to him and they say, you haven't eaten all day. And he says, I have bread you don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
When you are meditating, you don't have the hunger levels you normally do because the prana, the life
mm-hmm.
essence is feeding your cells.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see? So
yeah, yeah.
you're actually getting nourishment in a different form.
Mm-hmm.
Energy, vitality, elan vital
mm-hmm.
is flowing in you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are nourished. And actually, you also feel younger. you feel rejuvenated.
Yeah, isn't the pituitary gland stimulated? And,
yeah.
And that's the human growth hormone, and probably among other things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that, I guess Casey had been there in Egypt at the time of the Temple Beautiful and rejuvenated himself
in one of those places. That's true. As the high priest Rata in that incarnation, he was able to rejuvenate his body.
Yeah, and as you quote often, he let go of the things that aged him.
Yeah, when they asked him,
Maybe we should start that again. Yeah. I've got a couple of things that I have to let go of.
That's a hard thing to do. I've been trying to do it. I'm in an aging body, and I go, come on, John, let go of the things that you still... Well,
I always tell people, when I first moved here to Virginia Beach, and I'd tell people my age, they'd go, oh my God, Peter, you look 10 years younger. And now I tell people my age, and they go, mm-hmm. So something's changed.
I know, that's true.
Well, I think we come here, and you know, as much as there's big challenges, big resources and big challenges,
yeah.
And I think that like a spiritual center, you know, it has that meditation room for a reason. And if you're using it, I think you're gonna be replenishing yourself. But if you don't, you're gonna, you know, that backward flowing motion is gonna start going with gravity instead of
And actually, the more you get inspired and spiritualized, the more you're ready to face some of your karma. So even though you are becoming enlightened, okay, now let's look in the dark corner of your heart or your memory system and work this one out, because we need to clean that area.
I oftentimes says, you know, that the light illuminates, but it also attracts moths. As you walk this path, there's stuff that comes your way
just
to kind of be managed.
It bubbles up.
But it's an opportunity.
It is.
If you see it that way, the fruits of the Spirit aren't gained easily.
No,
you know, patience and kindness, you have to be in a way tested for those sorts of things.
And I can truly say I have become a better person by facing those dark sides of my character or my motivations.
Mm-hmm.
By them bubbling to the surface and using meditative spiritual techniques and applying them in the day in relationships, they are resolved.
Yeah.
You know, and that makes you lighter. The ancient Egyptians used to say you can't get into heaven until you have a light heart.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's hard to lighten the heart unless you deal with some of the things that you're holding on to or that motivate you in directions that are not fulfilling or harm others.
I remember you'd always find that hieroglyphic with the feather and the heart. It has to be lighter, you know, on the balance. The heart has to be lighter than the feather.
That's right.
Yeah, I hope to achieve that eventually.
Well, if you don't, you'll be back for another opportunity.
Maybe a gold feather.
You know,
might be there. Well, thank you, John. It's been a real pleasure to have you on here, and
it's been
look
good.
Forward to our continued friendship.
Okay, me too.